Good afternoon, everyone. I'm joined by my wife, Fran, Dr. Amy Acton, the Lieutenant Governor, John Houston, Sherry Maxfield, who is the Director of Commerce, which also controls liquor control. I want to first I'm looking at the screen. There it is. We'll go over here. This is a very instructive chart. I talked about what we learned about the past pandemics, what we learned about the 1918 pandemic, and the comparison between two cities, St. Louis and Philadelphia. And what we talked about is that we all want to be St. Louis and not Philadelphia, with all due respect to my friends from Philadelphia. The chart shows St. Louis, this is St. Louis here, and how it progressed. This is Philadelphia, and how it progressed. And we talked about the fact that St. Louis took the right measures. They did not hide it. They were very open about it. Philadelphia went the other way. But what to me is particularly interesting is when you look at first case in St. Louis, October 5th, they started ordering social distancing October 7th, 2 days later. Here, first case in Philadelphia, September 17th, they didn't move until October 3rd. So you've got 16 days here, 2 days here. And so the point is that sometimes when we're asked, why are we moving? Why are we doing this now? We still have a relatively large or small number of people who have been confirmed to have the coronavirus. And the answer is Dr. Acton has pointed out, this always lags behind. And the deaths are way, way behind, and the confirmations are behind. And so we have consulted every expert that we can find and read everything we can read. And so we're relying in the decisions that we make on what we know and the best available scientific data that we can get our hands on. This morning, pretty early, I started getting some emails and texts from people in different locations in Ohio. And each one that sent me something, one actually sent a picture, were concerned about the crowded bars in their area last night. We talked about, and we've set a limit of 100 people. And we've talked a lot in the last few days about social distancing and the necessity of people remaining apart from each other, at least 6 feet. We also are learning, and we continue to learn as this moves forward, but how contagious this coronavirus is. Several things I've read indicate it's twice as contagious as the flu. We also know that it's much, much, much more deadlier than the flu. So this social distancing is absolutely vitally important. After looking at this picture, but also hearing from people, and literally these were from the Mahoning Valley to Cleveland to Southern Ohio, and all the same story. The concern also that I have and that the people who are contacting me is that one of our happier days of the year, St. Patrick's Day, is coming up, and we're 2 days away from St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day when people get together. and crowd into bars. And so based upon all of this, and based upon the fact of where we are at this point in this pandemic, we are literally at a crucial, crucial, crucial stage. Dr. Acton will be signing an order that all bars in the state and all restaurants will close at 9 o'clock tonight. How long this order will be in effect, we don't frankly know. It will be in effect as long as it needs to. To clarify, carry out food is still allowed and certainly encouraged. We have some great restaurants. We have some that deliver food, maybe more that will be delivering food now. And so those are still open. The restaurant can stay open. That can take place. We hope it does take place. Some of our great places to eat, I know, have carry out, and maybe more will be encouraged to do this. This is not a decision. Well, let me just, again, clarify. If you can walk in and buy a donut, buy coffee, walk in, buy coffee, and walk out, that's okay. What we can't have is people congregating and people who are seated. So carry out is fine. Delivery is fine. I have some understanding of what this order will do. And I think of all the places that I've eaten across the state of Ohio, many small business owners who this is going to hurt greatly. I'm also aware of the many fine people who work in these establishments, work in these restaurants, work in the bars, who will not have a job. I'm going to ask in a moment the Lieutenant Governor to talk about some of the things that we're going to do, and there will be more to try to mitigate this and mitigate the suffering. But I understand, have some idea of that suffering, and I can't tell you how sorry I am. Our goal is for everyone to get through this. What we wish is that next St. Patrick's Day, everyone will be there. And they'll have the opportunity to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but not only that, they'll have the opportunity to live their life and live their American dream. But if people are not around, they can't do that. And so this is a very, very crucial time. Delay means more people will die. Literally every day we delay, the data clearly shows that more people will die. It is not just only a question about people dying from this pandemic, from the coronavirus. It is also a case that if we do not act and stop and break up these groups and get some distance people, if we do not do that, our healthcare system in the state of Ohio will not hold up. We have people who have strokes, who have heart attacks, who have all kinds of urgent needs for that healthcare system to attend to. So the loss will not only be those individuals who might be not be able to get a respirator, might be not be able to be treated because of the coronavirus. The danger is not only to them, it is to everyone else who does not get this and everyone else who needs to be treated. And so all the actions we are taking for this very specific purpose in mind. I'm going to ask, and let me just say one thing about the small business men and women. It is the small businesses that in an order like this are hurt the most. I'm fully aware of that. My family was in a small seed company, part of it retail, for about 70 years, started by my grandparents. I know how tough it is in small businesses. There's also been many DeWines who have run restaurants and many DeWines who have run bars. And so I have some understanding of this. Let me ask Dr. Acton to come up, and then I'll ask the Lieutenant Governor. Dr. Acton can give you an update of really where we are and some of the rationale behind this decision. The Lieutenant Governor will talk about what we're getting ready to start, what we've already been doing, the phone calls have been made in regard to unemployment and in regard to other things that we're going to be doing to mitigate the suffering that will be caused by this order. Amy.
Thank you, Governor. Good afternoon, everyone. As you know, we've been trying to tell you everything we know as we know it, and I've given a series of little science lectures, so to speak, to try my very best to translate this as a doctor to my patients, which is the 11.7 million people of Ohio. My team's putting together the past press conferences we've had and snippets from that because I can't start from the beginning and take us all there today. But I'm gonna give you a few things that I want you to keep in mind, go over again why our healthcare system not being overwhelmed is so vitally important. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about how every day and every one of us and what we do matters, and try to give a little bit of guidance for the folks, what you can do at home and what we need to do for the most vulnerable among us. So starting with what we know today, it is getting increasingly hard to give you numbers that are accurate because it's pouring in so quickly. We have data from our labs. We're still awaiting some of the private data, but I'll give you what we knew as of 2 p.m. We do know that we have 36 positive cases and at least 350 pending people under investigation, and that's just in our lab. The illness onset is from February 7th through March 13th, and I want to pause there for 1 second and say this is absolutely important for everyone in this country to understand. I saw Dr. Fauci, Dr. Gottlieb on the news today trying to explain this to people, and I've said this before, cases can be very misleading to the public because it's a past historical event. Because of our lack of testing, cases are just the tip of the iceberg. And in reality, it's not the numbers of people you have, the numbers going around. We will not have an accurate picture of that. We'll never know accurately who all, but we'll get closer as we look back in history on this. But it's not, the cases are the tip of the iceberg. There are many cases out there that are undetected. And more importantly, there are many asymptomatic people. Each and every one of us must suspect that we could be have it or be carrying it. But you can be asymptomatic and your symptoms will not show for at least 5 to 6 days, if not 14 days from now. It is, like I said, about the starlight. We're seeing the light in history of light years, and that is what you are seeing cases. So we are looking at what the scientists know, what we're seeing happening in other countries, what the best data and studies are, and we're predicting based on that. But be assured, it's already amongst us. And in fact, the fact that one of our cases started in February 7th, having their first symptoms, means that they were infectious long before that, up to 14 days before February 7th, but certainly at least 5 to 6 before they started showing those symptoms. And then they probably thought, like most of us probably did back in February, that we had a cold or perhaps the flu and lived through it. And that's amongst all of us here in Ohio. You have to understand that by the time you're infected and you do not know it, it will be another 2 weeks, and this is Hopkins research, 2 weeks before you will actually be hospitalized from this. Another, it's a really from that first onset of infection when you didn't know you have it to you are in the ICU is 2.5 weeks. And deaths are going to occur 4 to 6 weeks after that. So that is why we have to just assume right now what is here, and our data is increasingly showing that. Our age ranges, 31 years of age to 86 years of age, with a median age, again, of 53 years. We have 13 females and 23 males, 11 hospitalized. Multiple counties, and our county data is going to lag our understanding. I'm getting a lot of reports from a lot of cities that have been told they have a case. But unfortunately, because of most of our testing is sequestered in the hospital centers, often in the big three C's here in Ohio, sometimes they're putting down where they tested and not the county a person lives in. But as of right now, we have 11 counties that we have accounted for: Belmont, Butler, Cuyahoga, Franklin, Lorain, Lucas, Medina, Stark, Summit, Trumbull, and Tuscarawas. And we know, I know for a fact, that some of that has not been included yet. So, timing is everything, and every day matters. All of this is about the hospital surge that you're hearing about. It's about what I believe Newt Gingrich just wrote about today, what he's seeing on the ground in Italy, saying we have to act like this is a war. It's a war on a virus. And you're seeing unprecedented measures in places like France and Italy. Italy, the closing of churches, even for individual prayer, has never been done, even in the Black Plague. You're seeing stresses on systems that have modern healthcare systems taking the actions we're taking. The blessing we have is that every day we do more, we are going to blunt that curve. But we are in the surge. And as the governor said, you know, the places, a Wuhan was one city under a surge. It was one point because it was where it originated. They didn't have time to put our non-pharmacologic interventions, these things that we're doing to enforce the social distancing that is so essential. So they saw that spike, and every day and everything we do in this country, and this is from, again, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Gottlieb, the folks that were out there in the news that are saying this, everything we're doing is trying to slow the spread that we know is coming and decrease that surge on our hospital system. It is a lot like a hurricane. I've said this before as well. You want to evacuate and make your moves. And if you're blessed enough to see this tidal wave coming, this tsunami coming, you make these moves now, and every day decreases that exponential 2 to 3 people spread that creates the surge. We are in the time of evacuating from a hurricane where it's starting to pour more and more heavily with each day. We don't want to be doing these moves in the heat of the storm. And I can tell you, Ohio is prepared. They're preparing. Our hospitals are preparing. But I want to give you some of the data. We'll talk a lot more about the surge tomorrow. Just some statistics that we have as of now. And my staff will give you the sources of these. In a moderate COVID-19 outbreak, as it hits the United States, and I'll say one more point, we likely won't have one city. We'll have surges in cities first, but we're going to have multiple Wuhans in this country because it had already spread in our country. It didn't start at that point of origin. So you'll see this in places all over the country. We know from the first estimates that 200,000 ICU beds will be needed in the U.S. 45,000 ICU beds are available, and many of them are already occupied at 60 to 80% occupancy. We know that we have approximately 160,000 ventilators available. I heard Dr. Gottlieb use words this morning. We have 60,000 of the full-service ventilators, another 100,000 ventilators that aren't this, they're more mechanical, old-school type ventilators. We have in stockpile, I've heard some numbers, Dr. Gottlieb said 8,900 of the full service. I've heard 10 to 20,000. If we don't make these measures, and remember, this is key because people keep taking these numbers. If we do these measures now, we will greatly decrease the need for these. That's why it's so important. So the actions we take now will have an effect in mitigating these kinds of numbers. But if we delayed mitigation, an original estimate of an influenza of 1918, like would be, you would need 740,000 ventilators. So that's why the things we do matter, because we're trying to keep within the scope of what we have. You're going to see unprecedented measures by hospitals set up here. They're going to be doing more of what we said. We're going to be stopping all elective surgeries. They're going to be sending people who aren't as acute home. But much more important, I think people at home don't understand. It's very easy to think, especially when you're healthy right now, especially when it's just trickling that rain, that, you know, I'm invincible. I'm not going to need this. But the fact is, not only do we need this, for our most vulnerable, so many people in our country have pre-existing conditions of heart disease, diabetes, all sorts of healthcare needs, who are being treated for cancer and on immunocompromising drugs, including our children, who we know get sick as much of us, don't get as badly sick, but some of our kids will get sick and some of our kids will die, and the ones who have pre-existing conditions more so, but they most certainly are infected as much as we are. But this is it. When our hospital systems are overwhelmed, that means if you're having a birth that you are planning, if you are in a car accident and need your hospital, if you have a stroke or an MI, even if you never get coronavirus, people in this country could die from something other than coronavirus. It's so important. These actions we take individually are going to keep our nurses from getting sick. You're going to hear a lot about bed capacity. It's not about beds. Our National Guard and others will be setting up tents and things with beds. We need nurses and doctors. We need firefighters and EMS and people to not be sick right now. And every one of us might be infecting our neighbor who is a nurse, who we need during this response. This is a civic duty to keep those folks safe too. We know already of a firefighter who is one of our cases. That means that firefighter was sick for asymptomatic 6 to 14 days. That means that entire house of firefighters has been exposed and might need to stay home for 14 days. Now we don't have a fire station up and going. We saw this in Washington already from those first responders. So all of these ripple effects matter. And these proven strategies, we have talked to the scientists who have invented these strategies. They were in the footnotes of the governor's curve on that 1918 data. What they are saying is, and what Dr. Fauci said today is, we need to do all of this, and every day and every one of us matters. Young people, I had my first night at home with my husband, and my daughter was home. She's 23 or 4. I'm miscalculating that today as I stand here. Maddie, sorry. She and her friends were talking about, do we go out tonight? We should not be going to restaurants. Now, no, we rely on restaurants. 50% of us get our food from them now, and that's why the carryout and delivery is still so needed, because we need that, because there's so much pressure on our stores right now. But if it is not essential, you should not be doing it. And young people, you know, you're part of this, absolutely part of what I'm talking about. And we'll have more communications on how you can help during this, because we're going to need your help as well. This is disproportionately going to hit the most vulnerable amongst us. There is no doubt of that. We've predicted this all along. All over this state, philanthropies and nonprofits are working tirelessly. We're going to work on the needs of the homeless population. We're going to work on all of this. And these policies will layer on day after day. We won't have them all in the big day, but the state of Ohio has moved all the big rocks the most important breaks we can put on spread, and we'll keep layering those on day by day. And as the Lieutenant Governor will share with you, we will keep building supports. But please know, everyone, this is the real thing. This is not a drill. This is the once-in-a-lifetime pandemic, and everything each of us does matters.
Good afternoon. I would like to reiterate a couple of things that the governor and Dr. Acton talked about. First, though, I want to thank the Restaurant Association and the restaurants and bar owners who spent time with us today helping us work through these policies to make them as impactful from the standpoint of health benefits, and also helped us work through how we can minimize the economic consequences of these decisions. As the governor reiterated, this was a very difficult decision. We know how difficult it is on business owners and their employees. I also want to emphasize that carry out and delivery are available options. You will want to continue to use these institutions, these businesses, for that purpose. We don't want everybody to stop buying restaurant food and start going to the grocery store. That will create problems of its own. Continue to use your local restaurants for food and delivery services, carry out food delivery services. But as we have discussed, this will have an impact. And so the governor is going to sign an executive order regarding unemployment compensation. This will assist Ohio workers directly impacted by the COVID-19 health emergency. He will be issuing this executive order that will make several changes to Ohio's unemployment law and state agency policy to enable workers who do not have paid leave benefits to access unemployment benefits during this period of emergency. We will be broadening the current state policy to clarify that individuals that are quarantined by a health professional or by their employer are considered to be unemployed and will not be subject to the requirements to actively seek work during the period of this emergency. This also applies to companies that determine it is necessary to temporarily shut down operations due to the current emergency. Ohio currently has a 1 week waiting period before an individual can receive unemployment benefits. In the order, it will expedite payments to impacted Ohioans, and we will be waiving that delay, that 1 week delay, for eligible workers to receive their first week's unemployment payments and applications. Because we do not want to penalize individual employers for the impact of this outbreak by increasing their future unemployment taxes, the cost of these additional benefits will be mutualized. The Ohio Department of Job and Family Services will waive employer penalties for late reporting and payments for the next quarter to assist employers impacted by the lack of staff availability. More information on this is available at unemployment.ohio.gov or at the 800 number 877-644-6562. Now, I would like to move to an issue to help these bar owners and restaurants who may have purchased liquor in preparation for whether it was March Madness or St. Patrick's Day. The administration has been working with Jobs Ohio and the Department of Commerce, along with the Restaurant Association and the Ohio business community, and the Division of Liquor Control to identify ways the state may be able to provide this relief. As a result of these conversations, bar and restaurant owners now have the opportunity to return unopened high-proof liquor products to the agency where they bought them. We hope this will help relieve some of the chronic economic strain that the businesses might be experiencing during this time. Let me explain how this will happen. The details of this buyback include if you're a bar or restaurant who needs to return high-proof liquor purchased within the past 30 days, the process will be as easy as we possibly can make it. This courtesy will also extend to those who may have obtained a temporary F2 permit for an event scheduled between March the 12th and April the 6th, and this event and that event resultingly would be canceled. Additional consideration will be given closer to this end of this time frame if it needs to be extended. All bar and restaurant F2 permit holders need to bring the unopened product back to the agency where they purchased the product, and the agencies will call the Liquor Enterprise Service Center for approval. Approval is immediate, but awareness of the return is necessary. So for questions from this one-time buyback, please call 877-812-0013 or Ohio Liquor Info at .com, ohio.gov. So we have, please contact or go to those two locations to find more information. Let me go now to support for small businesses and not-for-profits. Recognizing that small businesses have and will be impacted by this health crisis, the Ohio Development Services Agency is actively working this week to submit the necessary information required to qualify the state for the U.S. Small Business Administration Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. This program will enable small businesses impacted by the outbreak to apply, or the COVID-19 outbreak, to apply for a low-interest loan of up to $2 million in assistance for the vital economic support they need to overcome the temporary loss of revenue that they are experiencing. Not-for-profit organizations in Ohio will also be eligible for low-interest loans through the SBA Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. These loans may be used to pay fixed debts, payroll, accounts payable, and other bills that can't be paid during the disaster's impact. SBA loans with long-term repayments in order to keep payments affordable may be maximized for up to 30 years. Terms are determined on a case-by-case basis based on the borrower's ability to repay. We want to ensure that this process is efficient as possible. We're asking any small business owner who has been impacted by the public health crisis to contact businesshelp@development.ohio.gov. And additional information on the SBA's Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program is available at sba.gov/disaster or by contacting the SBA Disaster Assistance Customer Service Line at 1-800-659-2955. All of these have been put together in consultation with the business community and health officials. Let me emphasize, we know that what we're all going through together will have a tremendous economic impact on businesses and the people who work there. This is our first step in trying to account for the disruptions in business, and we will continue to work with the businesses of Ohio and their leadership to develop services and programs to get us all through this very difficult time. I want to emphasize and thank all of the businesses who have been so accommodating at at working with us to develop these ideas in consultation with restaurant owners and bar owners. Many of them are voluntarily complying with the governor's order already, and we are prepared to support everybody through these resources. Thank you, Governor.
Thanks, John. Just a few things that are coming up. Our most vulnerable population is our elderly. One of the programs that has been utilized for many, many years, and that's so very, very important, is feeding program, senior centers, congregate meals together. At some point in the future, those will have to end. That food we will work with all our local agencies on making sure that that food does get to the same individuals. So this is going to take some volunteers. It's going to take some help in the community. We're not ready to announce that switch today, but again, this is a very, very vulnerable population, and this is the right thing to do. So we're not ordering that today, but that will be coming up. Our call center continues to get calls, many, many calls, and we encourage people to call 1-833-4-ASK-ODH. That's 1-833-4-ASK-ODH. Today we're running approximately 450 calls per hour. So those numbers continue to go up. Now, I've talked to our team there today, talked this morning, and told them we need to bring on as many people as it takes to be able to answer the phones and to get answers. For those of you who did not get an answer, left a message, we now have the ability that people will be calling you back based upon on those messages. Let me make a statement about our schools. I know there's some questions. I was on a couple shows this morning, and there were some questions about what I said. Really nothing particularly new. The order is for our schools to continue to educate for the next 3 weeks through distance learning, through separation, where the students will not be there. How long that will continue on, we don't know. There is no one that knows. But I have advised the superintendents, advised the school districts that they should be prepared for this to last for an extended period of time. So we hope that, obviously, that kids are back in school as soon as possible, but certainly the odds are that 3 weeks is not going to do it. We're not going to be far enough along in this pandemic. And the time is certainly likely to be extended, although we do not know what that is. Let me urge everyone again, every business. I know a number of businesses have already made the decision for some of their employees or all of their employees to work from home. We understand the uniqueness of some businesses that does not allow for that. But I would ask our employers to go back and re-examine that and kind of drill down and see if there are any more employees that could actually effectively work from home. The more we can get people into their homes, the more we can keep people from congregating, the better off we are. Again, I know businesses have started separating people, and again, I would encourage them to do that. What we announced today and what we've announced this week may look like drastic action, and I guess it is. It's very drastic action. But we're taking these steps to save lives. A lot of this whole progression of pandemics, while it is foreign to most of us, the people who study this and do this for a living, every single day in Ohio, we are on a course that was very, very predictable. when Dr. Acton has talked and other national experts have talked about the fact that with no intervention, no changes, we could expect 40 to 70% of our population to contract this virus. The part that we need to emphasize is that is with no intervention. We have made dramatic intervention, and we certainly feel that that will make a difference. And we feel that that will also enable, as Dr. Acton said, our healthcare system to not implode. That our healthcare system is vitally important, not only for the people who get the virus, but also for everyone else who might have any kind of other medical problem. Happy to answer any questions. John will, and Dr. Acton would as well.
Governor, Ohio is not an island. What are you seeing in other states? How are you urging your fellow governors in neighboring states?
Well, I talked in the last 24 hours. I've talked to, I guess, two other governors. And look, everybody's moving forward. Everybody gets it. You know, there's only so many national experts. So I can't tell you what other states are going to do, but I think other states are going to continue to move forward and do what they have to do and take these drastic actions.
Are we to assume that most of these are community spread at this point, or are some of them travelers?
Thank you, Laura. We'll continue to see cases that are travelers. As you know, we've been looking at the other cruise ship that's outside San Francisco. We do know we have Ohioans returning from that, 33 individuals, age 30 to 92. People are coming back from Europe, as you can see in the news today. People are returning home from a variety of places, but people are also very rapidly coming into contact with other cases and asymptomatic people. We have broad community spread in the state right now that we can actually see with the data we do have, and we're assuming the rest, as we're seeing again around the world. We can assume that now.
People are looking for ways to help and looking for ways that they can act now to sort of for the greater good. Are there any resources that we can direct them to?
Okay. We are setting up a structure by which to help. We're getting so many offers of help, which just, again, it's exactly what we're going to need. I can say that at the local level, there are, looking to your leaders, you will be hearing a lot from your commissioners and your mayors who will be mobilizing you on how to take the best action that fits in your community. Also, a number of philanthropies and community foundations are starting to raise money for ways to help. I was reached out to by Homage, a t-shirt company here, thinking of doing something where the proceeds would help. And so I think this will evolve. We certainly like to put more structure to it so that we can take all these offers. Again, you know, churches and synagogues, mosques are offering. And just we have to do all that carefully so that we don't expose people doing something that wouldn't be healthy in terms of social distancing. I want to say a new term I just heard used today, so I didn't invent this, but social distancing is a scientific term we use in pandemic preparedness, but it's really, a better word might be physical distancing. And the best way I can say it now, because you can argue a meter and 3 feet, 6 feet, arm's length is a good judgment, but it really is physical distancing. And we know, even with our young people and teenagers, I've had many parents say, they're all hanging right now. They're hanging in a different way. They're not going to the mall, which is where people from the early 80s might have gone, like myself. And so, you know, we are going to have all new ways that we stay connected. I heard something about, sorry if I say this, a virtual bar gathering for St. Patrick's Day. So, you know, people are going to, we're going to stay together, folks. So this isn't socialism. We need each other more than ever. We need to be using the iPad and the iPhone and FaceTime and the great technologies we have to stay close, because we need each other during this. This is something we will all have to get to together. And I want to make one small plea. We've got to take the politics out of this. We just have to. This is a time of national emergency, and this isn't a time for folks to you know, whether you believe me or you believe the national experts, this will all become so clear to all of us day by day as we get our heads around it. This is a time for us all to pull together.
Governor, you mentioned seeing pictures of people at bars. I've seen a lot of pictures today of long lines at early vote centers. Why shut down the bars and keep the election still on?
Well, the elections, first of all, we've been voting for four weeks. Voting is spread out. Second, people have the ability to separate at the elections. It is not a mass gathering. It does not come under that qualification as a mass gathering. It's important for us to be able to exercise our constitutional rights, and to interrupt an election in the middle of it poses some very, very serious consequences. I know I've talked to the Secretary of State. He's going to have some clarifications tomorrow morning, so I'm not going to, that's his job and his expertise, but he's going to have some things to say, I know, tomorrow morning.
Governor, could you address people who are now on our Facebook page saying, how am I supposed to pay my bills? You're hurting me economically, the speaker was saying.
Jim, we're going to continue to do some of the things that the Lieutenant Governor has talked about. This is just the beginning, but we have to make these decisions now. If we don't make these decisions now, if we don't take these actions now, it's going to be too late. So this is a matter of life and death. And so, you know, we're very mindful of the economic hurt. The other hurt for individuals who are going to lose their jobs. Look, this is brutally tough, and I my heart goes out to them. But we have to do what we have to do to save their lives, and not just their lives, but the lives of others. And our goal is for us to get through this. You know, we will get through this. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we will get through this. And we want as many Ohioans to make it through as possible. So we are dealing, I don't know any other way of saying it, we're dealing with life and death. And for us to not take these actions today will cost lives. People will die if we do not make these decisions. And I don't know any other way of saying it. Yes, we're doing one thing at a time here as we go. I think that, you know, we tried to take the big things. Now we're going to get down into the small things. But again, I want to emphasize this. People, the government can't do everything. If people want to congregate together, you know, I suppose they can still do that. They can do that in their own homes. That is just not a wise thing to do. People have to take that responsibility. And as Dr. Acton has pointed out, you know, it's not just you and your loved ones, you know. If you think, I can ride this out, what if I get it, so what, I'm tough, okay. Maybe that's your choice, but with a virus such as this, that impacts not only your family, but that impacts people you don't even know. And that's the nature of the spread of this. Again, the best experts we can find say that the number of people infected doubles every 5 to 7 days. So we pick 6 to talk about, but it's every 5 to 7 days it doubles. And it is twice as contagious as the flu. And we all know that flu is very, very, very contagious. So people are making decisions about themselves, but also about the lives of others. So, look, you know, I've said, you know, I wouldn't do certain things. You know, I wouldn't go out to eat. Well, now people can't go out to eat, but they can get food from the restaurant. But people have to make these individual decisions. Now, the daycare centers are unique. Somebody has to take care of these kids. And what I've tried to signal is that they will be closed. And what is starting to happen is the hospitals and other medical institutions that know what's coming, know so very, very well what's coming, are really focused on making sure they have personnel. They have doctors, nurses, other medical personnel. So what you're going to see some of them start doing is creating their own daycare centers. And we will be issuing waivers for those daycare centers so they can actually establish them, because it's going to be critical that we have the necessary medical people as well as medical supplies to take care of people. So you're seeing a lot of adjustment. It is certainly going to continue.
But closing daycares, that's not an order as of now, but that's something that could happen.
No, again, it will happen. It will happen. Again, I would plead, if anyone has a child in daycare and you can conceivably figure out a way to take that child out of daycare, please do so. It reduces the number of people, makes it a smaller group of people. We've asked the daycares to do everything they can to break out in smaller groups, to do everything that they can. But to do this abruptly overnight doesn't make sense. But it's coming. It certainly is coming. Yeah, John wants to say a minute.
Yeah. Look, we had a question back here about what people can do. If your neighbor is a nurse and you know that she has a child or he has a child that is not going to be at school and they need help, that's something you can do, particularly if you're younger and you're in a lower risk part of the population. Help them out. Help people out who are going to struggle by being a great neighbor, by being a great family member, by being a great friend. If you know of a business owner who's having a difficult time as a result of this, find a way to help them. We all have to pitch in here, and governor's not gonna be able, and I'm not gonna be able to tell everybody how to solve every problem, but if you have the right kind of community spirit and you understand that we're all in this together and that all of us can contribute something to making somebody else's life better, we will all get through this much more beneficially. So whether it's donating blood, call your Red Cross, whether it's dropping off some food at the food bank, whether it's dropping off a meal to an elderly person who may not, you know, go out to one of those restaurants, pick up some extra carry out, and drop it off at your neighbor's doorstep who maybe shouldn't go out. These are all things that we can do to collectively help all of us get through this together.
Can you talk about the unemployment compensation piece of this? Is, you know, Ohio's system was already, you know, troubled facing a looming recession. Can we handle this? Does it require a legislative fix?
There's no doubt that we're eventually going to need to ask the legislature to take action to strengthen Ohio's unemployment compensation system, but this does not require that. The actions we're taking today, we know that the federal government and our congressional delegation are working on plans to help states. We expect that will be part of the contribution to this, but we wanted, and more details will come with time, but in making the announcement that many bars and restaurants will not be open, that means many employees will not have jobs. We didn't want to make that announcement without letting them know that you can go, you know, and apply for unemployment and get it immediately. These things come together as fast as we can pull them together, and that's the decision that the governor made today, and this is the support system we're trying to build around it.
Governor, some Ohioans are, you know, packing into bars and restaurants and obviously not gotten the memo on all of this. Otherwise, there's people who are stocking up on, you know, canned goods and getting ready for, you know, hunkering down. So do you have a sense, has Ohio wrapped its collective mind around this yet, or is it still something that you need to convince people?
I think it's a process, and it's very understandable. Again, for most Ohioans, they see nothing every day in their lives that is different in the sense of other than what we have ordered. So, you know, they look outside and the world goes on. So nobody alive has experienced this gravity of this type of situation. No one alive has seen anything like this. So, you know, it's understandable that it is taking not just people in Ohio, but people all across the country a while to get their head around this. They watch it on the news, but again, their daily life, they don't see anything out there. So my job and Dr. Acton's and the Lieutenant Governor's is to be as honest as we can with people and tell people what we know when we know it. That was a commitment that we made when we held our first press conference about the Arnold and made that tough, what at the time was a very, very tough decision. But we our job is to lay out what the facts are, what we're seeing in Ohio, and what we have to do. That's my job. I have to do that. And so we're going to continue to do that. And it's a process. You know, Dr. Acton said, you know, you make decisions at the front end of this and you look like you're an alarmist. And I understand that. I know what some people are saying. I get it. But again, I also know from the best available science that we have, from consulting the top people that we can find, that it's a matter of life and death for me to make these decisions.
Governor, have you even thought about, do you need legislators to do this, to make changes to testing, if indeed you do have to extend the school order?
Sure. Sure. I don't think we have to cross that bridge yet, but I made it very clear in conversations with superintendents, and I've had this with the leadership of the state legislature, that if we don't do testing this year, the world's certainly not going to come to an end. So we'll see. We'll see as we move forward. Let's stay safe. Let's try to continue to educate the kids. Let's kind of stay focused on the things that we can impact. And that's going to be my focus. And so, but I want to assure people that we're not going to, you know, and parents and students, that we're not going to be asking them to do things that they can't do, and we're not going to be asking them to focus on tests if that's going to really get in the way of, you know, what they're doing over the next few months.
Governor, you've made it clear so much that this is up to individual people, individual decisions, but, you know, are movie theaters, places like that, going to be open right now, or no?
Well, movie theaters, if they can comply, but what you're seeing is many movie theaters, most movie theaters I'm seeing many are closing. I know that there's a small theater in the Columbus area that has got spacing out. They've decided to do the spacing. So I mean, look, we gotta keep our focus on what's important and what the goal is. What the goal is to keep people apart. So if they can keep a reasonable distance apart, you know, as much as life can be normal, we're going to allow that to be normal. But.
Governor, have you given any thought to implementing like a statewide curfew or anything like that?
No. No.
Governor, if you look at service industries, I'm talking about the ones where you have to be close. Barbers, beauty salons, massage therapists, acupuncturists. Is that on the list somewhere?
Jim, this is evolving. Our focus been on getting the big things where we get the most impact, and that's what we've done. We've gone through a series of very, very big things. People not congregating more than 100 people at a time, or what the orders were today in regard to the bars and the restaurants, closing the schools, going to distance learning in our higher education. So these are all big, big things. Does that mean that there are other things that we won't get to? Yeah, we may look at that. I mean, we're going to continue to look at the benefit plus the social cost and make those calculations. But it was important to get the big things and get them done. And that's how you have the most impact. As Dr. Acton says, you get 80% of it right, we're going to make a huge difference. Okay, thank you all. We'll take the last one.
This is for Dr. Acton. What is your advice on how to keep families positive that have loved ones in nursing homes right now that aren't allowing visitors?
Yeah, let me just say, look, I called a friend of mine last night who's in an assisted care, and call your friends. If they're there, if they're in a nursing home, call, you know, use that telephone, use other ways to communicate. You can even do letters. People still like to get letters. You know, I write a lot of letters. But, you know, people, look, everybody, we have to kind of reinvent and go back to the way we communicated before. And I don't minimize how difficult this is about, you know, somebody's got a wife who has Alzheimer's who is in, and now can't see her. That's just, you know, that's just gut-wrenching. But we have to protect her and we have to protect everybody. But, the, you know, reinvent how you communicate, go back to some of the things that we may have done 20, 30 years ago. And then you also have, for those who are tech savvy, you know, we got text, you can text and we can do the emails and other things. So, Amy.
I don't think I could say it better than that. I mean, I think everyone, we're gonna see a lot of ingenuity all over this country, and already people are coming up with ways from using technology that you can wipe down, because you have to wipe it down, to, you know, there are great studies about putting old music that people love. You've probably seen some of the videos, and there's a lot of techniques, and we'll be rolling those out, I should say again, coronavirus.ohio.gov. We're going to be putting tons of tips as we learn them. How do you get your head around this? How do you live? And we'll all learn from each other, and we'll take the best of that and keep giving it to Ohioans. Sir?
When you have a cluster, like in Butler County, you have four, are you able to trace the origins of that? Or are experts able to trace that in your staff?
Yeah, I'll say this again. So, you know, we have 113 local health departments. These are the heroes. They've been on the front line for months working on this, and it's their job. The disease detectives, epidemiologists are out there. Every time there's a case, they go and they find everyone they came in contact with. It used to be for every person under investigation. This will get so big that is actually no longer possible, and we're pulling some of that back, focusing more on cases. People under investigation are being told, just quarantine yourself for 14 days. You'll see that this will get so big that eventually we'll just have to assume that people are and treated as such, and so you're seeing that evolution. So there's a lot happening. Butler, you know, amazing, in the city of Middleton, all the other folks there, they were with those first Miami suspected cases, and you know, they just did an outstanding job. So you, please folks, you know, support good kindness to those local health departments. They could use some food dropped off on theirs or step right now.